This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, final hour here of the Brock and Salk Show, Seattle Sports 710, seattlesports.com. I want to come back to some of what we heard from Rich Eisen, who joined us earlier. We'll do that at, 9:30, leading into Ranked at 9:45. We did have some technical issues this morning, but don't worry, Brock. We fixed the issues with the fader, so we are still able to do Ranked. There was some question, and I know a lot of people worried out there that Ranked wasn't going to work today. But it will, because we got the fading issue all fixed. So we're
nothing
set.
Is going to make us fix a problem quite like threatening Ranked.
Right, exactly. Obviously, Justin got on it. Yeah. By the way, Justin, I don't know if you saw because you were busy on the you were busy working on that stuff. But when I was talking about the importance of the app earlier, the Seattle Sports app, which you should all download. Somebody said that a helpful feature would be an automatic connect to Justin button so that he would immediately know of your issues and come right to your house
24/7
and fix whatever sort of problem you're having.
Please.
So
yeah,
we'll see if we can get that all worked out.
Engineers on it.
Yeah.
Just ring my personal cell phone 24/7. That would be totally fine.
I'm
be
sure good, Betsy will love that.
It'll be a new app update. You know, like he's going to be around Betsy whenever the person calls.
I knew there was going to be some sort of crack.
Let's be clear. Brock, I don't know whether anyone's following this stuff right now. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But I saw this news yesterday, and I think it is part of a much bigger story that is probably 2 years out. Okay. This is a 2 years ahead of time tease.
Wow.
But if you ask me, my gut is telling me that Major League Baseball is going to have the lockout or strike to end all lockouts or strikes. And I think it's going to be a lockout, not a strike. And I think it's going to occur when this collective bargaining agreement ends at the end of the 2026 season. So you got 24 and 25. And then I think during the 26 season is when we'll start really thinking about this, hearing about this before the lockout happens that year. And
give me a couple tea leaves here.
Yeah, let me sort of tell you why. First of all, I don't know if you saw Jeff Passan's article yesterday. It's not specifically about this. It's about something going on inside the union. We'll get to that one in a moment. Did you notice in it that Major League teams this offseason spent $2.9 billion on new contracts? Okay. Of that money, a third of it was spent by the Dodgers just on Shohei Ohtani and on Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Mm-hmm. And of that money, a humongous portion of it was deferred 10 years. Yep. So they spent $2.9 billion, but you could make an argument that that number was actually even closer to like 2.5 or even lower. Mm-hmm. Do you know what they spent the year before? $3.9 billion. Mm-hmm. Major League teams as a whole reduced their spending by $1 billion. And when you consider the offset stuff, the everything they did with Ohtani, who, by the way, is also a generational, completely, nothing like him kind of talent, that number looks even less an even bigger gulf. Now, there's some other explanations for this. There were some really great free agent classes, and maybe this year didn't have quite the same star power as the last 2 years have had. But the $1 billion-plus difference is not just accounted for by the level of free agent.
Correct.
And in the meantime, you're hearing about what's going on with the RSN issues throughout baseball. Because when you, and this again, you can read Passan's column on this at ESPN.com. The teams that aren't spending, it's the usual suspects, but it's also the Red Sox and Yankees and Mets. None of those teams spent much of anything this offseason, especially the Red Sox and Yankees. So what's going on? Why aren't teams spending? Well, I think the big reason is this RSN issue. And for those who haven't followed it or don't really understand it, I'll try to make it as simple as possible. I'll try to explain it in 30 seconds or less. For the last, let's call it 3 decades plus, Major League Baseball's financial model has been based on RSN money, Root Sports, and other cable networks
regional
that carry
sports
the games.
Networks.
Regional sports networks on cable. And the way cable works, you get money for every subscriber, not for every viewer. It's not ad-based revenue. Yes, they also make money in advertisements, but the huge bulk of what they make is through subscription costs. And anybody who had a subscription on Comcast, on DirecTV, on whatever your provider was, you were paying, whether you ever watched Root Sports, NESN, Yes Network, anything else or not, you were paying a fee to that network. And so baseball for 30 years has been supplemented by non-baseball fans who were paying a large portion of the freight.
Yep.
That's going away. Whether it's through cord cutting or whatever other issue has taken place in the industry, that is changing drastically. And so now baseball is being forced to make money off of its own fans, not just off of the people that happen to subscribe to their product, some of whom don't even know they have it. That is going to take billions of dollars out of this game. And owners are not going to stand to see billions of dollars leave while the players continue to make the same amount. It's not going to happen. Maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, they come up with a suitable replacement business model, but it would be very hard for me to imagine that's going to happen. What seems a lot more likely is that the owners are going to say, hey, there is no way on God's green earth we're going to continue to operate without a salary cap. We're going to do this like football. You'll get a percentage of what we make. And that's what happens in the NFL, right? The league tallies all of its proceeds, all of its income, and and gives a percentage of it in salary to the players. Baseball does not do that. And I don't see any way the owners are going to stop until that's the case. Couple other little points. One, do I think the owners are exaggerating this? Maybe. I'm not just taking their word on spec that this is exactly what's happening. They may very well be exaggerating it, but that would tell me even more that they're about to cry poor and say they need to lock it out and change the entirety of this system, right?
Yep. And players are already not particularly happy.
The players are never happy, and you get this news that came out yesterday that they're looking to make some changes, not at the very top of the union, but at the next rung down, where they want to replace the guy under Tony Clark with this other guy who fought for the minor leaguers and did a great job with that. He's only like 33, 34, something like that. You're 33 years old. Well, if they're going after somebody like that and trying to make changes, it tells me that they know, because they can read the tea leaves just as well as I can, better probably, and not just probably, definitely, that they know what's going on. So I get the sense both sides are preparing for war. And last year, last time we did end up with a lockout that lasted, what, a month or so? My guess is this one will be worse.
And what did Manfred say, that he's out in 2029,
I think?
Okay, so he'll see this one through.
He'll see this one through. This will be his legacy.
Yes, it will.
Installing a salary cap in baseball.
Yep.
Like I'm not saying I support it. I'm just trying to predict the tea leaves of what I think will happen in the next 3 years. And it would be very, very
intriguing, because you know what a salary cap also does, you know, if done appropriately and the players fight for it and everything else, it also creates a floor.
For sure.
It also means, come on, Oakland, which will be Vegas. Come on, Tampa.
Yep.
Come on, you guys have, come on, Cincinnati Bengals. Like, you've got to now spend to this floor as well. If we're going to put a cap on this, we're going to put a floor on this as well. And there will be no more of some of the shenanigans with some of these markets spending absolutely $0.
Yep.
So I don't think that, you know, like I hear that initially, and I hate the fight and how ugly this will be and everything else that is likely coming. But if the end result is a cap and the end result is, you know, spending by everybody and is a more level playing field between the New Yorks and the Seattles, and get rid of some of this, you know, we're a major market, we're a mid-major market, we're a low market. No, let's all just be on a level playing field and go out and compete in that way. I think that's for the betterment of the league overall.
Well, and some of the responses here, hey, well, they're not going to do that without revenue sharing because that's the only way it works. I totally agree with you. You're right. Yep. And I do think that they will start to push for that, because the teams that have been most resistant to it aren't making as much money off their giant RSNs like NESN and Yes Network as they used to. Yep. So, yes, I do think that will be a part of it. Salk, why are they being forced? Billionaires aren't rich enough. Why are you taking up for them? I'm not taking up for them at all. Honestly, not at all. I'm not saying that the billionaires are right or wrong. I'm just saying that this is what they think and this is the way they're going to act. And my guess is we end up with a really, really big labor fight coming in just a few years in baseball. So.
Well, we've been through a few of them before, Salky. Yeah, it's the advantage. 15 years, by the way.
Gut feeling. This will be the biggest one.
This will be the biggest one.
Gut feeling for me, this will be the biggest labor fight in our lifetime.
Put it on the board.
Since 94. That this will be the biggest fight since 94.
All right.
Wouldn't surprise me if they, I don't want to get into predicting, but yeah. I think it's going to be pretty bad.
You're not in the prediction business.
Yeah, that's not what I do. Just read tea leaves. That's all I do. Just read the tea. All right, let's give you guys everything you need to know and then get back to a little football because we...
If you're a Penix fan, you're going to want to stick around.
I'm just a Penix fan. You know what, though? I want to do something tomorrow. I heard something from the other two shows yesterday that I think I got to ask you about. That's coming up in 20 after what we need to know next.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, Seahawks busy continuing their offseason. They did get a guard yesterday, and yes, I am leading need to know with what appears to be a backup guard, but it's the first one they've signed. Tremaine Ankrum Jr. is his name. He's been with the Rams the last few years since being drafted in the 7th round there. He's played a little, mostly as a backup, appeared in 31 games, but he's only started one of them. Not a starter, right? Maybe?
Probably not.
Okay.
Limited. Excuse me. Yeah, so excited about Tremaine.
Clearly.
Limited athletically. I think that's fair to say. But a powerful guy. And I think maybe in some ways you say the same thing about Anthony Bradford. Now, Bradford is bigger. I mean, he is a house. And he has got some real, real power when he punches you. So, yeah, if there's any just kind of indication in body type or style, remember they got George Fant to be the swing tackle. They are absolutely going to have to address this to some degree in the draft. They bring in a little bit of an undersized center in Nick Harris, and you've got a couple just right now, if you were to look at him and Bradford, two bulldozers, just two big physical guys that are a little bit limited with their movement and their athleticism.
Surprised at all they didn't try to sign Kevin Zeitler, who ended up going to Detroit yesterday?
Maybe a little bit. I know we talked about him years ago with Russ because they played together at Wisconsin and are BFFs and everything else, but he had a couple different turns. They've not opened that door.
Yeah, so they had their chance, and they didn't end up with anybody, really. Have they signed anybody from Baltimore? Not one person, right?
Mm-mm.
They have not signed one person from Baltimore. I don't know what that means. And it does, you know, does it mean that nobody there wanted to come play for Mike McDonald? Does it mean that Mike McDonald wasn't all that interested in any of the players? Does it mean they just weren't a fit? Is he not going to run the same kind of defense?
I think I can say very confidently that they love the price point for Rayshon Jenkins much more than they did
for Geno Stone got paid. Still just kind of interesting that you expected somebody or a couple players to come over. Haven't seen it at all. Randy Gregory is another name that apparently they're showing a little interest in, according to Josina Anderson. He's been good at times. He's had problems at times and has not been particularly effective the last few years after that big deal in Denver. So they do apparently have some interest, but hard to see how that would be as a full-time kind of player or even a guaranteed kind of contract.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Man of the Mariners bats ever hot right now in Peoria. They are just knocking the ball around, and maybe the guy who's had the best spring of anybody, maybe after Cal Raleigh, who just seems to hit a home run every time he comes up, is Dominic Canzone, who went yard again yesterday, and Scott's been really impressed.
I'm not swinging so hard. I'm just going to make contact. You know, so just quiet your body down a little bit and just try to, like Brent Brown's over there, just touch it. Just touch it and good things will happen. So a lot of guys, really, you know, throughout whole camp, two-strike hitting has been much, much better. Guys letting the ball get a little deeper, not worried about getting beat on the fastball, and they're staying on the breaking ball a little bit better.
Just touch it.
Well, remember when we were talking to the comedic relief himself, he talked about force, Salk. And energy, and let the force that is coming at you be the force with you. And just put that barrel on it, and you can do the rest. It also helps to have some of the strength, kind of the grown man strength that I think Dom has found himself with. And man, when we listen to Aaron Goldsmith, and Aaron is not one of those just teal glasses all the time. He is an information guy. He loves the data as much as anybody. I was listening to some of that broadcast the other day in the booth on Sunday with him, and he loves the next level stuff. Yeah, and what Polanco and these Garver and Haniger and these kind of grown-ups have done, if it can carry over, and I hope we see a start very, very different than the last two Aprils and Mays.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, I don't think the Kraken will be playing much into April and especially May. It doesn't look like the playoffs are going to be an option for them. They lose their fifth straight game all at home. Just a miserable homestand in every way for them. Joey Decord pulled after giving up the first three goals yesterday. They end up giving up six en route to a 6-2 loss to Buffalo. And the Cougs, they're getting ready for Thursday as they've got their big date with Drake University, which will be in Omaha. Sounds like Kyle Smith may be around for the long term. He was on with Bump and Stacy yesterday. They asked him about an extension.
We're working on it. They're putting something together and want to make sure that we can still sustain this level. And, you know, obviously going through the transition, but that's okay. We love Pullman. You know, I got a ninth grade son, and so I got ninth, seventh, and fourth grade, and we love living here, and it's been great for our family. So once a Coug, always a Coug. So we're working on it.
I like that. Oh,
I know. Stacy, who doesn't really have, you know, not a kid person, not a Coug, but yeah, she's very excited about the Kyle
Smith. I hope so, man. I root for the Cougs. I think that I've let that be known as far as the Beavers and Cougs. I root for them because they have been hurt more than anybody else. The basketball program will go to the West Coast Conference. Numbers were out earlier this week, Salk, or the end of last week. They talked about the disparity in revenue that they are going to be making. We know there have been a ton of pay cuts in the department from the other coaches, the football coach, women's basketball coach, the AD. It just makes that extension, especially in a world where Ohio State and Louisville and Michigan and a bunch of big programs are looking for a head coach. And what Kyle's done is nothing short of remarkable, been phenomenal with those Cougs. So you put all that together, I think it's going to be hard. Kind of like Kalen DeBoer, that contract talk was there for a long time and sitting on the table. Unfortunately, never happened over a Montlake either.
All right, there you go. That's everything you need to know a quarter past every hour here the Brock and Salk
Not show. Quite everything you need to know, Smarty Pants.
What else? What else do you need to know?
Well, so you said and he knew where Drake was.
Yeah.
It's in Des Moines.
I did.
What's their mascot, Salk?
They are the Drake Rappers, I believe.
Are they?
Is that right? No?
No, they've got a beautiful bulldog.
I was going to say they must be the Bulldogs. Yeah. Actually, I think I did know that.
Looks like Griff the second.
Spike is the bulldog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Griff, okay. Spike, they got a bunch of
That was the other thing you need to know?
That's it.
Oh,
that's
okay. All. I thought there was maybe another thing I was missing.
Well, I thought you were going to be torn. Spike, you know, they got a bulldog.
Yeah.
But you're not really an English bulldog guy.
I mean, I like an English bulldog.
No, you could care less
about
an English.
No, that's
French.
Not true. I told you. I meant Norman, my neighbor, who has the biggest head I've ever seen on an animal. Looks like a rhinoceros.
Well, I'm glad that's a dog and not your neighbor.
Well,
I'm glad you clarified
he is
that.
My neighbor. Yeah,
because let's be clear. If there's a bigger head on a body than the Graz,
I'm just telling you.
I'd like to meet Norman.
I'd like to see Norman go up against Bruce Bochy because I would argue Norman's head is inappropriately large for any sort of animal, especially a bulldog like him. Anyway,
what did Gertie do when she saw that?
She liked him actually.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
They became fast friends. Yeah,
okay.
Gertie's fearless. Right. She doesn't mind a big head on a bulldog, and she'll go right after it. They were instantly friends, and now they're following each other on Instagram. So who would have guessed?
Great. That's
all right,
terrific.
Brock. Coming up, I heard a question on each of the other two shows yesterday that I think are worth discussing, and I want to ask you both of them next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio
on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
It's good to see those with great senses of humor out today. 425 says your stupid little dog is a breed off of that dog you're making fun of.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, I know. Thanks.
Well, the French were after the English?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they're bred from English and pugs and Boston Terriers.
Well,
obviously.
Like I'm
of course, Brock. Don't you pay any attention to this stuff?
No.
You and the 425 are both experts, so you should be able to. I got to ask you two questions.
Okay.
Just listening to the station yesterday, I did not do any. I told Justin Amore earlier, and you know this. I didn't do a second of prep last night.
Nope.
Not one second of prep work. Justin Amore and you prepped this entire show today.
Mm-hmm.
I just showed up and read like Ron Burgundy. So I did not do any prep last night.
That's why we started with Tremaine Ankrum.
Absolutely. Went out to a concert last night. Jimmy Chamberlain Complex was A+ at Numo's, and local band called Reader did an awesome job opening for them. They were super, super impressive. So really fun night at Numo's. Thanks to everybody there. That was awesome. But heard two things yesterday on the station. One I heard live and the other I think I saw on one of the Instagram reels that are put together and sent out. And I wanted to ask you about both of them. Are you ready for them? Question number one for you, Brock. There is currently not a quarterback competition or controversy in Seattle. But I saw Bob and Dave, or I think it was actually Bob and Brady, asking Should there be? Should there be more of a competition? They said this is Geno's job, and, you know, they're bringing in Sam Howell to be a backup. Is that the way it should be? Or should this be open in some way to a competition and eventually controversy?
Yeah, I think 2 years, you know, Aaron Goldsmith was talking about the value of being homegrown and the value within your culture and your whole organization. And I don't care what the business is. I really find great value in those that build it from the ground up and have that kind of investment, that kind of care factor. And obviously, Geno was traded here, right? He had bounced around the league in a lot of different places. You can't call him homegrown. But as far as the young people that he has been with, as far as these last two draft classes, as far as the relationships, the trust, the respect that he has in that building, it is going to be his job. He's going to start out with the ones in OTAs. He's going to be at the front of the line April 1st. The dude is committed. The guy is going to be there. He signed basically one-year prove-it deals. That is you know, how he goes about his work. And, yeah, going into this sucker, he is absolutely the lead dog. But that does not mean it is a zero competition. That does not mean that, hey, Sam, sorry, you know, this is, you know, what Rich Eisen was talking about as far as kind of the scraps that everybody else gets. And, you know, with Mike Vrabel saying, Will Levis, I don't know, you tell me. Like, we don't see him at all. I mean, this is the advantage of having a new coach, a new regime. You will start early. You will have a lot of guys trying to prove, like, hey, man, I'm on a one-year prove-it deal too. Hey, what are you? I'm on a one-year prove-it. Oh, I'm on a two-year. I'm on a one-year. We got a whole new regime and a whole new staff and right. A whole new set of eyes on this. And with that comes still massive opportunity. So it's Geno's job. I don't think there's any debate about that. But that doesn't mean Sam Howell's not going to be pushing.
I wonder if there will end up being some debate about it. And here's why.
Once the season begins.
Now, obviously, there's going to be some once the season begins. I mean, you know, the moment you have a bad game or a loss, there's going to be calls for it. That pretty much goes without saying. Mm-hmm. But should it be a little bit more open? Maybe not right away, because, of course, there is, you know, just the learning curve, which you mentioned earlier. But I really do hope you're right and that this is not a situation in which Geno gets every rep and Sam Howell is relegated to full-on backup duty and that's it. I really hope not, because he's not a rookie. He's not never played in the league. He hasn't been definitively diagnosed as a backup yet, in my view. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to see them find out a little bit. By the way, Geno is not so assured of his job that there's no reason to check out what the next guy has. So
I know that Mora
has chuckled. Question.
I know that Mora has chuckled every time we play that promo from Schneider's interview with Bob and Wyman last week, where he's like, Sam's a football player. But that's what you know, football player is a pretty simplistic term, but what
he says, that's what I love about him.
I love him. He's a football
player. It sounds like you saying that
he's a football player.
He's a physical body.
He's a physical body. He exists as a human being.
But you know what's funny? I get where John's coming from, because, you know, G pops in the room with us last Friday. He's like, that dude's a baller. Talked to my nephew, Sam Heward, when I was back there last week. He's like, dude, that guy's just a baller. Right? He's just a baller. That guy's just he's been a hyper productive, just gritty baller. Again, like Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield in high school, Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, Baker Mayfield along the way in the NFL. Like, you just, dude likes to ball.
Yeah.
Like, this dude just likes to ball. And I will say this too, the longer I started to talk there and just kind of run my mouth, remember that Geno is learning a whole new system too.
I know. It's not he's been playing with this coordinator or anything else all this time.
No, he has not. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot asked of him. This system requires a lot of pre-snap movement, a lot of, you know, just machinations and a lot of from the neck up kind of stuff that you know, he's going to be, they're going to both be from the faucet, you know, from the fire hose early, trying to really absorb and learn a new system for the both of them. Which could create a little more opportunity than if this was Shane Waldron and Geno's in year 5 of it and Sam Howell is trying to learn the whole new language. They're both learning the language at the same time, and that may, again, kind of level the playing field just a little bit as the competition
I guess
does.
I would say this. I hope we get a chance to see Sam Howell. I'm not saying I hope he starts week one, but I hope we get a chance to see him this year, or else I'm not really sure what the point is.
Well, you're going to see him a whole bunch in the preseason. I think, unlike a lot of other teams, that the Hayes in the barn and McVay and Stafford don't play one snap of the preseason, and a bunch of these teams that don't play one snap of the preseason.
Can't do that.
You're not going to do that. You can't do that. And you're going to have to see these guys play and perform. And, And for if you're Sam Howell, again, put yourself in his shoes. And I hope we get a chance to talk to him, trying to work on that. But put yourself in Sam's shoes. Like, man, I get Lockett. I get Jackson Smith and Jigba. I get DK Metcalf. Mm-hmm. I get a couple good backs. Get a couple really good offensive tackles and a system that is so quarterback friendly. I mean, Ryan Grubb's system, no matter where he had been with Kalen all the way along, with all sorts of different skill sets, you know, they just were a very QB-friendly, QB-centric kind of system. You got to be excited about all that.
Yeah. The other question sort of came from a discussion that Bump and Stacy had, and maybe you've even heard the promo of it, where they're essentially saying the reason the Seahawks went for Sam Howell over Justin Fields is because Howell's here to be a backup, whereas Fields would have needed to be a starter because Fields, and their reasoning, because Fields only has 1 year left, he's going to need to be a starter, whereas
Sam's got two,
so you don't need to start him. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair, you know, that Justin is going to push and is going to want, and obviously Pittsburgh is not going to pick up his fifth-year option, right? That makes zero sense in the world because they got to make that decision in May, right. And so they're not going to do that. But
interestingly, we're hearing that he's not going to start in Pittsburgh.
Correct. Not off the bat. But you don't think they're going to compete?
Let me ask you this then.
You don't think Mike Tomlin in a year where he's got to win?
I think they're going to compete. I think it's insanity. I think that he's making more money. They're paying him more money than they're paying Russell Wilson. And he's about 1,000 years younger. I absolutely think he's going to play. I think he's going to be the starter. I don't even know whether Russ is going to make the team. But that's a different conversation. They don't seem to be saying that. The guy from Pittsburgh who we talked to yesterday, Jerry Dulac, who's got 30 years of experience there.
He called you Mick.
He called me Nick, I believe, Nick? With an N. It was hard to say. Jeez, but he sure seems to know his Steelers, and he doesn't believe that it's going to go down that way. So I should listen to him. Mm-hmm. But it just feels funky to me that, like, what, they're just going to have Fields hanging out there? Why? It doesn't make sense. Unless Russ is so freaking good.
Yes. Yeah,
he better be.
Well, yeah, you think, you know, as you're saying this, you know, who just resonates in my head, and it will, I think, in yours the minute I say it. When you ask Pete Carroll about all of these QB struggles, and we're going to have a long QB conversation and development conversation and all of that tomorrow with that Bucky Brooks conversation and Rich Eisen attitude and everything else, Salt. But what did Pete always say, man? The amount of pressure on these top 10 guys. I know they come from Ohio State. I know they come from Michigan. I know they come from those big programs, and they think they've handled, and they have had to handle, some really hard fan bases. But Ohio State, all that guy knew was success. And then he goes to Chicago, where all they've known at that position is failure, and the weight of the world is on him.
So is that why you don't want J.J. McCarthy, because he's always won?
If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, what are you going to do going into this? Mm-hmm. You're not going to put any more pressure on him. You're trying to decompress that situation. You're trying to, okay, all right, Russ, you're the guy. And put the pressure on him. You know, put it all on him. And let's see how he responds, how he handles it, how he, you know, if he tries to play any games in the media and tries to play any games with his team and tries to, you know, do any of that stuff, then let the underdog come.
Right.
Let the guy have the chip on his shoulder come instead of putting any expectations on the Fields going in.
So interesting.
That doesn't surprise me that they made that kind of statement. Proof will be in the pudding there.
Did you have that same reaction when Rich Eisen was talking about J.J. McCarthy? And he's like, look, guy's only lost two games in his life.
Sheesh.
Right? You know, he lost once in high school, once in college. Did that make you at all consider the conversations we've had
about
learning to lose? It was like the first thing I thought of, which is sad because that should be like, oh, wow, he's going to be incredible. He's just a winner. All he does is win. Well, what happens when he doesn't?
That's right.
Does he know how to handle it? Does he know how to react? Does he know how to have a neutral mentality? That's why this quarterback conversation and development thing is so difficult, because everything has an argument against it.
Mm-hmm.
Even being an incredible winner, there's an argument against it. Well, does he know how to lose? You're not going to win every game in the NFL. Oh, hey, he doesn't mind handing the ball off 32 times a game, is one of the things Rich Eisen told us, because he just cares about winning. Why does his coach want him to hand the ball off 32 times in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Is he not good at throwing the ball?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just it's remarkable how you can go back and forth on some of these
things. Here then, Brock, because we talked about this a lot last year with Drew Lock being the first time in, I think, his career, at least professionally, that he had the same offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row.
Yes.
So now Sam Howell, now Geno, get a new offensive coordinator. Is this how many offensive coordinators has Sam Howell gone through now? Did he have the same one every year?
It'll be his third.
Yep. Yep. He had a new one in Bieniemy. So this will be his third in 3 years in the NFL.
I don't know who it was the year before
college.
That. But
yep.
And he had more than one in college, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, yes.
It's just like the whole giving a quarterback a chance. It's like, man.
That's right.
If they had more than 1 year with a guy actually trying to develop him.
That's exactly right. It becomes, my gosh, the difference between year one and year two, and just from personal life experience, when I'm not having to think about any of that, and I know it inside out, and that is all reactionary versus, you remember some of the conversations in Denver about Russ and Russ making calls that he was making back in Seattle at the line of scrimmage, and the dudes were like, what? What did you just say? That's not even our playbook. What are you talking about? Or trying to spit out Sean Payton's very long language in a huddle and having real struggles doing that. I mean, this is a guy that's played 12 or 13 years, but he's still having that. Yeah, because guess what? How many coordinators did Russ had three in 3 years? Waldron his last year, Hackett his first year, came in midstream, fired him, brought in new people, then Sean Payton. So even for veteran guys, you're still at the fire hose just trying to learn all of that language. And here he is again with Arthur Smith, going to have his fourth coordinator in 4 years. Is that advantageous for Russ?
No, but we have also heard from guys like Matt Hasselbeck and others that at some point it becomes a lot easier. And you've even said it. Like at some point,
absolutely,
the veterans know how to translate it, that
yes,
it's, you know, it's they not.
You have association.
That's
okay,
right.
Yep, that's
it's like the romance languages. Like,
yes,
all right, if you know Spanish, it can be helpful in learning Italian and Portuguese, etc.
Sure,
it's not just like all of a sudden you got to learn Chinese characters.
It's like reading
Mandarin
maps.
Characters.
Yeah, I totally get it.
So I don't know. Like, I'll buy it, but not entirely, if that makes sense.
Oh, we're going to have fun tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be a big quarterback day.
It's going to be deep.
It's going to be a big.
Prepare yourself, everybody. Go to bed a little bit earlier tonight because
yes,
we are going to dig deep.
I'm
going to
prepare for tomorrow rather than just show up and let Justin Amora do it.
Just go to a concert.
You know what? Heather and I actually have tickets to go to something tonight. I don't think I'm going to go.
No, you can't go.
I got suckered into this. I screwed up. Did I tell you what I did? If anybody wants to buy these tickets for me, you can buy them. So I saw that Letterkenny was presenting something, and I thought it was going to be the thing where they came around with the characters and everything that they did a couple years ago at the Paramount.
Uh-huh.
So I quickly bought the tickets, snatched them up. This was months ago, and then read the fine print, and it's like, oh, it's people connected to Letterkenny. It's like the guy who plays Coach.
The Letterkenny family.
And that's it. Yeah, it's the Letterkenny family. So I have tickets to this comedy show tonight at the Showbox that, I don't know, I'm not entirely sure I'm going to end up going to. So
it's all because a middle-aged man, you cannot be going to multiple shows.
No, I can't do that.
No.
All right.
That is a big,
all
fat
right. I'll
no.
probably be home sleeping tonight. Okay. Let's rank.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Salk.
Top 10 list. I'm not buying it.
Ranked.
All right, well, when I said the name, or earlier when I was talking about Joey Decord getting pulled in the first period, I accidentally said the first inning, which I think should tell you that I am at least ready for baseball season. Mm-hmm. And it dawns on us, Brock, that we have not yet ranked readies. Readies ranked.
Ready,
not
ready.
Yet ranked readies.
Ready, ready?
The ready set.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can you give me a good ready, Brock, as a...
Ready, ready! That's how you do it at the line of scrimmage.
That's how you do it.
Gosh, I had a good cadence.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah, I would say you and SpongeBob sound
like
very similar.
Like before the snap, there were so many things that I looked the part. Like I was, this guy can do it. He's got good posture. He's got good spats on his cleats. He's got great cadence.
You were ready.
My problem was just when the ball got.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Problem.
happens to the best of all of us.
I just feel like I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party with the best of them.
God, I love that.
There you go. Kristen Wiig and Bridesmaids. That's a good one.
That's perfect.
That was very funny. Let's see. We got some music. Aerosmith. Not like one of their biggest songs, but there you go.
I don't really know that one.
The Chicks.
Ready to run.
You know this one, Brock?
Are you ready?
All I'm ready to do is have some fun.
It's the best. It reminds me of riding my sister's Geo Metro convertible going to middle school.
It's like a good Geo Metro.
Ah.
You don't see. The Geo's gone, right?
They're long gone. Those things are probably still running in the bottom of an ocean somewhere. You couldn't kill them.
Brock, we did such a good ranked yesterday.
Well, 3 days.
Not really. It was fine.
We did. No, I got a tweet about how great
it was. Not as good as today's.
Oh, I'm ready. Yeah. You ready? I think this would be my walk-up song.
Would it?
Yeah, I think so.
It would really fit you.
Let's go.
Do very natural for me.
I see that for sure.
Let's turn that off before something bad happens. Brock, do you know about internationally acclaimed DJ Paul Oakenfold? Ready, steady, go. I like this song.
I did not thank you for a Paul Oakenfold
fan.
I'm
not necessarily a Paul Oakenfold fan, but I was saying earlier, if you ever see the movie Collateral, Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, the club scene with that in it is freaking awesome.
Okay.
Great movie scene. Let's see, we got some Bad Company.
Not top five.
No. Nope. Oh, wow. It was a tough top five. Great song, though, right?
It's a terrific song.
I know. Brock, can you tell me who sings this song?
Well, 80s metal hair band.
No.
Oh, I'm done.
I'll give you a clue.
It's a band you've heard more than any other band.
And you've said their name today.
Probably what? In your life.
You've literally talked about this band today.
No chance.
For 14 years, you've listened to this band.
Four times a day.
Oh, come on. Yeah, Airborne
Toxicity.
Airborne,
there you go.
Not
you
Air Supply. Airborne.
It's not Air Supply. No.
That's Airborne?
That's right Airborne.
Oh, we just got a text, Carter from Tacoma. I drive a Geo Metro, LOL.
Let's go.
What's up, Carter?
Things still running, told you.
692,000 miles. Yeah.
Airborne, if they sound like any band, it's this one.
That is not top five.
Nope. Great song, though. Great.
Why? Just because it wasn't one of their hugest hits?
Yeah.
Not top five?
Yep. That's probably why.
You must be saving room for some of my favorites.
For Creed?
Maybe.
Some Creed for you, Dustin.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yep.
Dustin loves Creed.
Human Clay, that's a great album.
He does love Creed.
Man, people just heard that they were bad and now everyone just believes it.
Or they don't like... They don't like that.
I get it.
They don't like what?
I get that Pearl Jam
whatever
did it
that
first.
Is it.
A lot of bands did it first and did it better. Doesn't mean you can't like them.
No.
What did you just say, Mark? Moonfall is
ready. From Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, it's off.
Yeah. Is that, what's his name? Bruce Campbell. I think that's Bruce Campbell. Guy from Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell. Mm. Yeah. All right, you ready for the top five? Are you ready? For the top five?
Yep.
Brock? Ready, set,
ready,
go.
Ready. Ready, ready!
Give me a good one. Come on, give me a really good one. That one felt okay. Give me...
Ready, ready!
All right, number
four. Ready, ready!
If you've ever been to a Mariner game, or really most games, you know this song. Republica, kind of a one-hit wonder. But this song lives on in arenas everywhere.
Didn't think that was going to be top five over Bad Company, but okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because of the way it lives on.
Yeah. I mean, that was just so 90s. I think of like the anything 90s. Like,
okay, there's like another 07. Song that lives in arenas that dun, 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 but I'm afraid to play it because I think it involves like a famous line that we can't play.
Yeah, from the Jock Jams album.
Right,
that we
but everyone
play.
Knows it, and I just don't want to get sued, so we're not going to play it. But it's out there.
That was Randy Savage, by the way, is Bonesaw.
Oh, it is? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, the other guy.
I was just trying
guy.
To think. I couldn't think of his name on the spot. It was Randy Savage.
The other guy, then. I forget the dude's name.
Have you started your top five yet?
Yeah,
how you doing,
Maura?
Maura, how you doing?
Maura wants to sing some more Creed.
Maura, sing Creed. Quick. Ready, go.
You know.
Number four. That's Pearl Jam, Brock. Number four, we're going way back. Temptations coming in at number four on Ready Ranked.
Respect that.
Yep. You didn't?
No.
Oh, Temptations are legendary. Now, I want to be able to go home and see my kids and face them later today, so there was no way this song wasn't going to be somewhere in the top five. Are you ready for it? This little Taylor Swift. Cecily did this in her most recent audition, so yeah, that was going in. It's actually
that
really
sounded
good song
a little
too.
Like George Kirby's dubstep once.
That's a good song. Yeah, it's her sort of ode to dubstep, I guess. It's not quite as creepy.
No love for Limp Bizkit, apparently. It's not going to make it in this one.
They didn't quite make it. I'm sorry.
Unfortunate.
Sorry to tell you, Justin. I'm just going to...
What does Limp Bizkit sound like, Maura?
I did it all for the nookie.
That's almost a...
The what?
Perfect
impression.
That's very good, yeah. Or if you can grow a big white Santa beard, you'll be all set. Number two.
Ready or not, here I come.
Okay, Fuji.
You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly.
That sounds about right.
That was big.
It might have been number one. Honestly, it was, Brock, but I'm sure you know the number one.
This is a sports show.
This is a sports show, so I'm sure you know what number one is, right?
Sure.
Off the top of your head, you know exactly what it is, right?
So
are you ready?
Yeah.
But are you ready?
Come on, Hank. Come on, Hank.
This is Hank, and he's ready. He keeps saying he's ready over and over again, so he must be ready. So there you go. Number one, are you ready for some football?
You ready for a QB talk tomorrow?
I'm ready for
the opening of the regular season and 9 days?
I think I'm ready.
You ready? You ready for the draft in 5 weeks?
I think I feel ready. Mostly.
Are you ready for a nap this afternoon?
I'm definitely ready for that. I'm ready to crawl right onto my couch, turn on the golf channel, and sack right out. Yep. Definitely ready for that every day at 10 o'clock. That's how I find myself. Brock, great show today. Maura, Justin, thanks for prepping it so I didn't have to. And we'll catch you guys tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, even with Maura imitating Creed, the hay.
Barnes.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!